It's December, and since March, higher education has been flipped on its back and left flailing around for any kind of stability.
Well, millions of college students have been sent home during this pandemic and now have to take classes online.
As the coronavirus continues to spread here in New Jersey, as well as the rest of the country, students here at Rutgers will have to wait to see if the 2 weeks of online classes will become the norm for the rest of the semester.
Like millions of college students across the country, I came home for spring break and never went back. When remote learning started, I began to feel differently about school and learning, admittedly for the worst. And I blamed my professors. The busy work, the neglected emails, the poorly organized Canvas sites. It was all too much. Actually, it wasn't enough. I expected more out of my professors. And as someone who thrives in a classroom setting, I've never felt more disconnected from the work I normally love to do, like writing broadcast journalism scripts or talking about contemporary issues in politics. And I know what you're thinking. The answer is yes. I am fun at parties. COVID-19 forced us to change a lot about how we live and raised some pressing points about how we work and learn. And for many college students, remote learning just isn't cutting it. But we aren't turning the corner around this pandemic anytime soon. Cases are actually rising across the US, so remote learning looks like it's here to stay. How can colleges and universities do better moving forward? It's time we use the way professors teach and how students learn to innovate current instruction methods and reestablish the professor-student connection. Could podcasts be part of the answer? Dear higher education, can podcasts save remote learning? I'm your host, Jade Stepany. I've taken online classes before and personally didn't enjoy them very much. I found it difficult to connect with my professors, and doing the work felt more like an inconvenience than a learning experience. I missed being able to pick up on a professor's vibe right away, and I never thought that I'd miss all the corny jokes that they would tell, slightly embarrassed for dating themselves, but loving the attention all the same. But I couldn't be tied down by commitments to going to class back then. Online learning offered flexibility, and it allowed me to get the credits I needed to stay on track to graduate on time. But taking all of my courses online was nothing I was prepared for. The key thing for me is that connection. No online class I've taken before the pandemic had web meetings or check-ins, and neither did 3 out of 5 classes I'm taking now. The professor-student relationship has been strained far before the pandemic, but remote learning has all but completely snapped it in two. I don't even know what 3 of my professors look like. While the problem is widespread, it is not representative of all students' experiences. Asynchronous learning has its benefits, and some students claim to love it. For one, it offers flexibility. It's also a more accessible method of learning for those who don't have webcams or other audio and video equipment. But having 5, 6, or even 7 classes where all you're doing is watching pre-recorded lectures all week is tedious and discourages open discussion, critical thought, and engagement. We've all had to adapt and turn ourselves around over the past 9 months to get things done. Now it's time to consider a new method of remote instruction to give students a chance to feel closer to their professors, and vice versa. And in turn, both of them will feel closer to their work. Podcasting is a fast-growing industry with 144 million Americans regularly listening to podcasts as of November 2020.
This is Jack Podcast.
We have a new podcast.
And we have a new podcast.
Very first podcast.
Influencers, celebrities, journalists, random friends of yours. Everyone has a podcast. Spotify plans to spend $500 million on podcast-related acquisitions this year alone.
Podcast lectures would revive remote learning. After all, the nature of podcasts are to teach, entertain, and call to action, qualities that are baked into the audio medium. That's just the power of sound. And instead of just talking at us, professors now have the opportunity to teach through storytelling. Podcasting allows for experimentation and the delivery of information. Creating a podcast lecture builds off the traditions of oral storytelling, which is how information was passed around for centuries. Audio is intimate and changes the experience of content consumption from passive to active. But where does audio fit into higher education? Podcasts have actually been used in college and university settings before in subjects from engineering and nursing to history and psychology. Studies show students actually prefer podcasts over lecture notes all by themselves. Of course, there's a catch. The length, format, and frequency of podcasts all matter, much like releasing a podcast with the hopes of becoming a famous creator making million-dollar brand deals. I found that the average pre-recorded lecture lasts anywhere from 8 to 45 minutes, with the average length of a podcast being 43 minutes. Studies have found that short-form podcasts work best for students, with the most common reason for not listening being a lack of time. And we can't forget that not everyone knows how to make a podcast. Luckily, one of the most important steps is prep, which I can imagine most professors are no strangers to. However, some sound advice for those who are not savvy with audio editing software is to spend more time writing out a concise, revised script so that after recording, effort is minimal. Unfortunately, podcasting isn't the answer to all of our problems. There are accessibility issues on both sides. On top of the time it takes to prepare and record lecture material, professors would be expected to produce their own recordings. I've had a professor who couldn't work a DVD player and couldn't possibly imagine him using Pro Tools to edit a podcast. Some serious investment in training would cost colleges and universities money that students would probably end up paying for in tuition hikes. An even bigger issue is students' lack of access to certain technologies that prevent them from connecting to the internet to learn remotely at all.
It's very clear that COVID and remote learning is exacerbating existing inequalities in education.
That's Dr. Vicky Katz. She's an associate professor at the Rutgers School of Communication and Information. Her research is focused on how low-income and immigrant families learn about and with new technology, including the access they have to those technologies.
We also know that those kids were disproportionately likely to be low-income, children of color, or children of immigrants or Native Americans.
Dr. Katz did a study with Dr. Amy Jordan, a professor at the School of Communication and Information, back in March, just 2 days after we were sent home indefinitely. Their research found that students from kindergarten to their last year of whatever program they're in face digital inequality, better known as the digital divide. Another issue is the labor that goes into creating a podcast. Creative, expressive industries like podcasting often closely mimic traditional, capitalistic structures. The effects of this labor will mostly be felt by PTLs, or part-time lecturers, instructors, teaching assistants, or any other staff whose workload already exceeds their pay scale. Dr. Katz has a model for tackling the digital divide, and it's one that any school or government can implement with enough resources.
We can think about what digital inequality resolution looks like as the A, B, C, D.
The key challenges students at all levels of schooling face, or the A, B, C, D, as Dr. Katz and Dr. Jordan like to call it, are assistance, broadband connectivity, and devices. Without efficient information technology help, widespread high-speed internet access, and the appropriate tech for the student's grade level and workload, digital equity is way out of our hands. COVID-19 has forced us to rely on technology to learn, play, and get paid. So, can podcasts save remote learning? Not alone. But podcasting has something important to contribute to higher education. It's been proven to be a useful tool for students and relatively easy for professors of all disciplines to navigate. Still, there are economic and social issues facing our society that are far bigger than one professor simply changing up their instruction methods. Digital literacy and accessibility are structural and systemic issues with no one-size-fits-all solutions, and those impacted most need support from our institutions. Colleges and universities have more pull than most K-12 schools to implement meaningful change that can start at the earliest levels of education. Podcasts aren't perfect, but they're a step toward challenging the rhythm of online learning and improving the future of education for professors and students alike. I'm Jade Stepany, and this is Dear Higher Education. Thanks for listening. This podcast was written, produced, researched, and hosted by me, Jade Stepany. Music from Anchor.fm's Smart Background Music Library. Special thanks to Dr. Vicky Katz, Danielle Ferrari, and Chenjerai Kumanyanka.